This is an oral history interview with Mrs. Jerry Dodd, conducted by Bethany Odom on February 4th, 1995, at her home in Sumpton, Alabama. The subject of this interview will be the Great Depression.
All right. You want to just tell me a little bit about yourself? Like?
About myself. Mm-hmm. Let me just start with the beginning of my life. Okay. Actually, what years did they determine the Great Depression? 1926, 27, 28? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I wanted to place myself in that time frame. Okay. I was born in Sixty, Alabama in 1921. I guess the earliest memories I have are Christmas in Sipsy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why or for what reason, but I can remember a Christmas tree and wax candles on the Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And because of the fire hazard, we could only light them one time. And I can remember how beautiful it was. And I must not have been over 4 or maybe 5 years old at that time. And I can remember we lived in a big house. It was in a coal mining area.
Mm-hmm.
of Walker County, Alabama, and we had a dog, and it was a big collie, and I remember the dog. And then I can remember going to the company store with my mother, and this was all mm-hmm. operated by the coal company, and it's the strangest thing that I can remember. It was perfume in the company store, and that was what I wanted to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And we were limited, you know, with what we could buy, so therefore we couldn't buy perfume.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that early in my life I began to like things like that.
So you probably like perfume now?
I like perfume now. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Judy's real sweet to give me perfume.
Uh-huh.
Will you edit this?
So Judy's your daughter?
Mm-hmm. Judy's my daughter.
Okay.
Then from that time we moved to Fairfield. And we lived in 3 houses on 44th Street in Fairfield, which now is not a very desirable neighborhood. But I remember that I was very outgoing little girl, and I visited all the neighbors. And on one occasion, you know, I was born in October. Mm-hmm. It was mid-July, and I had time on my hands, and I told all the neighbors it was my birthday the next day.
Oh, no.
So I had a real nice party in July. But I started to school at Fairfield Elementary School, which I think is still being used. And that would have been like about 1927. And we began to get into hard times. So Fairfield, you know, had steel mills. That was
mm-hmm.
the industry. And my dad worked part-time at the steel mills. And I started to school there. And it was a real happy time mm-hmm. in my life. I can remember liking the neighborhood and liking the people. And my sister was born while we lived in Fairfield at Lloyd Nolan Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was very.
I still have that.
It's still in operation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It has enlarged a lot since then. It was started for the benefit of the steel workers, I think, that lived in Fairfield. And Fairfield was a real pretty town at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It went into a real bad state of disrepair and rundown. But they are, they have a real active mayor, and they're
mm-hmm.
building back and growing again and doing a lot of real nice things. I learned just recently that they have an Olympic-sized swimming pool in their sports complex,
mm-hmm.
and the city of Birmingham will be using it this year for their children, their swim teams, some of their children's swim teams. So it's good, it's good news about that. I think I'm rambling.
No.
Okay.
You
ask me any question you'd like to, go and.
Tell me about what you did when you.
What I did when I went to school. You know, I can remember.
How you got there?
Yes, uh huh. I went to school maybe about a year after my sister was born, and my first teacher was a Mrs. Williams, a Miss Williams, let me. Mm-hmm. And I can remember her, she wore dark rimmed glasses and very long skirts, and she was a very good teacher. It was really important to her that we learned the three R's, and I walked to school. It might have been, I think it was about 7 blocks, but I walked to school, and I went in the first and second grade, maybe about the middle of the second grade, to Fairfield Elementary School, and I wore, you know, the first clothes I remember being proud of was that when we lived at Sipsy, and I wore this kind of a smock-like dress embroidered all over handmade, and the bloomers came below my knees. And I really wasn't comfortable with bloomers below my knees, but that was popular to wear.
Uh-huh.
I thought I had a picture. Evidently don't, but that was the first clothes I remembered wearing. Then when I went to first grade, probably just little cotton dresses and sweaters and knee socks.
Mm-hmm.
And sturdy shoes, because you had to buy sturdy shoes or heavy shoes because you had to wear them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have two or three pairs.
Did your mother make most of your clothes?
Yes, my mother was a very good seamstress, and she liked to go downtown Birmingham on the streetcar from Fairfield. That was a real enjoyable time to go down. The streetcars ran, you know, regularly. We would go downtown and shop at department stores. But my mother would always take a notebook, and she would draw pictures of the more expensive dresses. Then she would come back, you know, like for 25 cents a yard, buy fabric and copy those dresses for me. And my clothes were always pretty. I can remember that, even though it was hard times, my clothes were always pretty. And one time, she was asked by a clerk, you know, not an employee in the store, not to copy the clothes, but she got her copy, and she made the dress, and I can remember always having pretty clothes.
How much did the cost of the dress?
I can remember having dresses when I got older, but the cost was maybe like $1.
A dollar a dress,
thread and everything, and it would be, I have embroidery maybe on it, a little tux on it.
And that's what it would be if you bought it in the store? How much would it be?
Oh, I don't know, maybe $5.
Yeah.
I can remember as the Depression progressed, we moved to West Virginia. Let's see, but before we moved to West Virginia, my dad moved to Detroit because of the automotive industry there. He thought he could get a job, and we moved to Detroit, Michigan, or a suburb of Detroit named Trenton, and we lived in a real pretty little town. It was on the Detroit River, and there was a park there, and I can remember the ice skating, the kids ice skating, but we didn't have any ice skates because we couldn't afford them, so I never did really learn. I learned, but there was a part of the river roped off, and at night it was lighted, and people would gather there and ice skate, and we would go to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have any skates. And then another thing that I remember about living in Michigan, when it snowed and the snow was very deep, our milkman brought the milk with a sled, and he delivered the milk to the door with his sled. And then, like at Christmas time, he put bells on the horses and rode the children in the afternoon after the milk was delivered. And it was in a city, and we lived on them. You know, there was the streets and the house numbers, but we knew everybody. And I walked to school, and I walked to the Trenton Elementary School in the suburbs of Detroit, and we lived there for 2 years. And I only have those good memories because of the kind of mother that I had. She she liked for you to remember the good things.
Yes. Like the schools in the South? Is that kind of like
No, they were ahead of me. They already knew their multiplication tables, and I did.
So what grade were you in?
In maybe the last part of the second, and then maybe I went into the third while we were there. I wish, you know, I had a journal or a diary that I did. But we just were Southerners, and we wanted to come back South. And we tried to come back to Alabama, but we wound up, or we moved to West Virginia from Michigan and lived with my grandmother. And my grandmother had moved from 60 Alabama to the coal fields in West Virginia, a real beautiful area in the Allegheny Mountains. That's a part of Appalachian range. And she was operating for a coal company, Alta Coal Company, a boarding house that they did, because see, she lived like 60 miles from a city, and the workers had to have a place to live. Mm-hmm. So my mother went to help her. And at that time, my dad left us. And, you know, it was a real trauma in my life. I was 10 years old. Which, you know, we moved back when I was 7 to Michigan, and I was 10 when we moved to West Virginia. And it was a real great trauma in my life. It was real difficult. But I lived with my grandmother, my mother, my sister, and I lived with my grandmother, and mother helped grandmother with this boarding house, and she would have at least 22 people staying with her. Mm-hmm. And when I was 13 years old, I served tables like a waitress. I had this real hard life. Our life changed completely from what it had been when we lived in Fairfield and in Michigan. And
the boarding house was part of her house, or was it separate?
No, we had our own quarters in there, you know, which is on a lower floor, and all the people that were guests were on the second floor, and it was a huge house. It was just big, like 20 people, 20 rooms, you know. Mm-hmm. And as I grew older, I assumed more responsibilities, like I had duties that I did in the afternoon. And you remember, now this was before they had forced air heat, and we had fireplace in every room, a big fireplace. And in the afternoon, one of my jobs was to take up ashes. I think that's why I've never wanted a fireplace in my home, you know.
Yeah, that's a big job.
Yeah. So, I was 10 years old, I said, when we moved there, and we had a lot of good times. We lived on a creek. It was almost like Paint Creek, and it was almost like a river. And when we finished our chores, we could go swimming. And there was a swimming hole, just maybe like a block from our house. You just walked up the road, and you were at the swimming hole, and all the kids gathered at the swimming hole in the afternoon. I guess other kids had chores too that lived all around us, and we just had a lot of fun. In the summertime, we did that. And in the wintertime, we had sledge, you know, and the creek would freeze over, and we would gather at our free time and play there. And when I first moved to West Virginia, I went to school at the elementary school. And about 2 years after we moved there, there was a flood that washed away just about everything on our side of the creek, over on where the coal company offices were. Everything was left standing there, but most of the houses were washed away, and the school was washed away. We had to get a new school. And another thing that we did when we lived there, a coal company did a lot of things for kids, and they had monthly dances and had a live band. I learned to dance real young, you know, because that was part of your social activity. Then after that, I had some dancing lessons, and I danced on all the benefits they had, had costumes. So we had a good life, but it was kind of like they looked at us like, you know, the people who live up the hollers, that's what they call where the creeks were, and the coal mines, and we were the people who lived up the hollers. Well, by then I was in eighth grade, and so I had to go to high school, either at two places, and there was not any transportation to Montgomery, West Virginia, which I'd like to have gone to high school there. So I went to Kingston, which was 7 miles from where we lived, and I had to ride the bus every day. And the bus, there were no bridges on Paint Creek at that time, and we forded the creek. So when it rained and the water got up or the ice got on the creeks, we couldn't go to school. And we had a lot of holidays in the wintertime. But I finished high school in 1939 at Kingston High School. And during that time, the CCC was organized. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay, during that time, the CCC was organized, and a lot of the high school kids joined the boys. There was no girls allowed to join. The boys joined the CCC and went away like they were going away to the Army. And they worked in a forest in West Virginia. And they built like state parks, beautiful rock work. And there's still some of that rock work in some of those state parks around that area at what they call Hawk's Nest. And beautiful state park there. I was there about 7 years ago, and there was still some of that rock work there.
It looked familiar.
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. The big community building had been torn down, and it was rock, but there was a lot of rock walls and steps left, and it was pretty. And this was a part of the CCC was a part of the government's program to help young people help themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think they had an opportunity to go on to school, you know, while they worked in the forest and did the things their job required, and then they could go to school too, and it helped a lot of young people who maybe not got to finish their education.